Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
But I'm starting to feel a wee bit better. So why don't we get our Bibles out? There we go, fellas. Never want to disappoint. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish off today. I said I would do a couple of weeks called Farewell to Stuck, because I said last week, I don't know about you, but does anyone ever just get really fed up being stuck? I don't know what your stuck is. I know what my stuck is, but I really get really knobbed off with it. I go, seriously? I don't want to be stuck anymore. Please say yes. Give me an amen. Yeah, awesome, because otherwise it's going to be a really awkward talk. But I had a moment at the start of the year where I felt the Lord say, stop defining things by what they are not. Okay, in terms of even how you approach me, remember that? You don't define in terms of lack. You define in terms of who he is and what he's done and what he's provided. And then I had this other moment a few weeks ago where, again, it's always in conversation with my wife. And we were talking about something, and it was almost out of me. And it was out of me. I just said it. I went, I am so fed up being stuck. And the Lord went, I'm fed up of you being stuck too. When I say the Lord, that's Penny, all right? Interchangeably. Sometimes the voice of Penny and the Holy Spirit, they're so similar. It's impossible to distinguish between the two. But it was this thing of going, Lord, I know that you have so much for me. I know this gospel is incredible, but there's just some things I am fed up being stuck. And I felt the Lord then start to speak to me through the day and say, well, say farewell to stuck. That was the expression that came into my head. Just say farewell to stuck. And it's one thing to go, right, okay, I don't want to be here. I know that the Lord promises me all this, but I don't want to be here. I know that there's areas of my life where I want to see breakthrough and I want to see the goodness of God. Amen? Yeah, where I want to see more of his favor. Okay? I'm preaching to this side. This side, I think we lost them ages ago. And just you guys, go on Facebook, knock yourselves out. Right, you lot, you're awesome. Okay? Ooh, controversial. But apart from you two can move across. I like you two. All right? Seriously. So what we did was we established two big things, all right? I can do this really gently. We established two big things. That the way to get unstuck is to understand what honor means. Isn't that right? Ah, Gordon Bennett, this is going to do my head in. I'm going to try it one more time because I really don't like handhelds. We established two things, okay? Seriously, somebody help me out here. Could they?
See, I speak with my hands.
I know. So, just
pull. There we go. Wick. I speak with my hands, so this was really difficult for me. So let's go back to the beginning. What I said was this. I said that we established two things. Number one, honor means to give worth, weight, and value. And whenever you take the words of Jesus in your life and you treat them as ordinary, then what happens is it limits how God flows in your life. It's not the heart of God to keep you stuck. I mean, Jesus didn't go through what we've sung about this morning, this incredible work at the cross, so that you just get to live the same old scenes every day. That was the point. So it's never the heart of God for you not to experience breakthrough and victory in every area of your life. In fact, the opposite is always true. The opposite is it's always about blessing, favor, and increase. It's always about lifting you from where you are to where he has called you to be. I'm going to talk about that this morning. But the key in that, and it's not about when you honor, suddenly God loves more. It's simply about keeping things out of our hearts which block the flow of God in our lives. You understand that? And one of the things that we see whenever we take the words of Jesus, and I was really encouraging you to go give ear to what he's saying to you through this church, through me at this time, because I don't just say this because I've got nothing else to preach on. Next week, I'm starting a new series, and I'm super excited about it, really excited about it. But I feel for now, you've got to give ear to what the Lord is saying to you right now. And I've said that over the weeks, because what I find time and time again is
And Marcel actually gave a little bit of, he gave a little bit of a nod to this a few weeks ago. He said that we are royalty. Amen. He said, we're royalty. And everyone goes, oh, well, you might be royalty, but I'm definitely not, because I just feel like a bit of a scumbag, to be honest. Scummy. Who said that? Was it the English manager recently said those scummy Irish? How'd that work out for you, Eddie Jones, if you're listening on the podcast? I'm sure he listens. I can't say what he said about the Welsh, but all I'm going to say is, in terms of this, one happy Irishman this morning. Amen. Come on. So it's interesting that that Marcel started to talk about it, but it's the one area that I find in church where people still get it either wrong or they find it the most difficult, okay? Because it's one thing to go in the same way that, and this is about getting you unstuck, because when the life of God is not flowing, or it's not flowing as well, and we're not starting to experience breakthrough, it's not just like, if we don't have some sort of way of going, well, Lord, what is going on? Give me some principles and ideas. Help me to understand how I move. Then you'll be dead frustrated, and you'll end up just at some point going, ah, enough's enough. Not banging my head off the wall anymore. And so in one way, the opposite of to honor is to treat as ordinary, all right? Just treat as ordinary. And what we found in Mark 6, what we've talked about lots, is that the issue for Jesus was that people just treated him like he was everybody else. That's the carpenter's son. Sure, we know who he is. And I encourage you to go, actually, do you do that in your life? Do you set up the words of Jesus himself? Do you set up the gospel of grace and just go, yeah, but, and it's just the same as everything else? Or do you give weight and value and priority to what the Lord says? That's what we've been saying. Because actually, for us, I actually believe that is the way that some of us are going to, become unstuck and start to see the flow of God. And in one sense, there's a, I'd love to sit and ask you, well, how'd that go for you this week? Because one of the things about being royalty is it's one thing to go, yes, that's the way the Lord loves me, but have a look around you. You've got to work it out with this merry bunch of people, even that you see in church today. Never mind the people that you live in your whole life with. And so I want to talk today about what are you going to do whenever people sin towards you? Oh, please just tell me how much Jesus loves me. Can we not sing again? That was lovely. But I was thinking if I got a wee message from one of the duchies this week going, what's the whole curtain thing? Ah, man, they Googled that one and they were stuck. All right, you live behind curtains. I'll leave that one with you. But I was going to call this one doing your bapping. But seriously, I'm going to take it really slow. I'm going to teach rather than preach, because I think this is really important. And I kind of feel like after this talk, I'm drawing a line on the first bit of the year to move into something else. Because I want to talk about law and righteousness. I want to talk about what the Lord has done and how this church fits into that for the nation and beyond, starting next week. But there's just something where I just felt the Lord. I mean, this week I kind of went, Lord, he went one more go, but talk about what are you going to do when people sin against you? Because that's the point where you get to choose honor or dishonor. And the result in your life and in the life of this church will be life and fullness and the gospel of grace in all of its goodness to you, or you being stuck. Isn't that right? But you're going to find so much grace in this morning for you. You may find that you're going, oh, okay, awkward. Because remember, these are the kind of talks I said even in the Twisted series, where I go, this is, you're probably sitting listening to this and go, really need to share this with my husband when he gets, he really needs to listen to this, okay? Or I know somebody who could really do with this talk. And he's actually holding the mic and preaching right now. Bite me. So, that's what we're going to talk about. And it's interesting because honor has fallen in hard times in the world today. We don't really know what it means to value one another and to give weight to one another. What does it really mean to be in a community of grace? Under the gospel of grace, where we're receiving and flowing. Because remember, it's grace for all. But what does it mean to live with people who are royalty? Because we can listen to that and go, yeah, that's for me, that's awesome. But then it also means the person beside you, you get to live with them like royalty as well. And in that, there, I think, honestly, in today's world, that is going to be absolutely key. I was doing some business stuff this week, and I ended up in a one-to-one with a guy. And we were talking about values
and what, how values drive your behavior. Okay, so it's a bit of a, it's an important thing. But what was very clear to me, picking up that this guy has a particular lifestyle, because he talked about equality, talked about respect, and so very quickly you're going, okay, I know exactly what's going on here. And I found myself in this one-to-one sort of coaching situation, and really lovely guy. We actually got on super, super well. And it's interesting for me that what I heard, the subtext of what I heard in his life, even in this context, was I don't feel valued in any way. Okay? Now, that's what I'm hearing. Because when we listen to people, we hear the words, then we also hear what's kind of not said, don't we? And then there's this gut or the Holy Spirit actually telling you what's really going on. And in that moment, I thought, my goodness, I have a choice now to either just do what we're going to do in terms of work, or I'm going to look him in the eye and I'm going to talk to him about how valuable he is. Took a huge risk, okay? But it did it. And I talked about, you know, and I just shared some stuff with him. And big red eyes, tears, etc., etc. In this moment, I'm the one leading the course. I'm 20 minutes late back into it because actually I'm ministering here. All right? And we can talk about equality, but actually in that moment of me just looking at him, know it, because he knows my background, and me going, let me tell you just who you really are and how loved you really are. Amazing moment, okay? An amazing moment. And the thing is, it made me think, actually, the world is short on this. Do you get that? The world is dying. The world is not dying for what we know about the law and righteousness. Okay? That is what underpins how we love. So that is what goes on in us as the Lord shows us and reveals this. Why? So that we can show his love and grace. If I had to talk to this guy about Sinai and Zion and all sorts of stuff, and the law was given in Moses, he would have gone, seriously, mate, are you completely mental? I would have gone, yes, probably. You and me both. But actually understanding that my decision just to honor him and love him, despite the fact that I have some difficulties with where he's coming from, in a moment he walked away feeling, I knew that he because he said, can we meet again and chat? Do you get me? Honor's in short supply. But what we don't want to do, and it says in 2 Timothy, that we don't want to have a form of godliness but deny the power. And the power of God in your life, you're going to find is when you love people and you look at them like royalty. Do you get that? But what do you do? Because people will drive you mental. And the same time this week, I had moments where I'm sitting. I'm just going to be honest. Remember I've described Dexter, you know, where you're sitting there going, is it, how, you know, I have actually had moments of going, if you were to kill someone, where would you put the body? Do you know what I mean? It's like in the middle of the mornings, nobody will find it up there. I'll be great. What about Donegal? They'll get you on the speed cameras, though. You know, it's like, seriously, I go from these moments of, oh, Lord Jesus, you and me, to, I'm going to kill you. Okay, all in, that's just my world. Too real? Good? Joseph, you like that sometimes? Thank you, amen. But honestly, in the room is always good. But we're going to... But what? So I want to talk to you about that, and I'm going to do it very, very quickly because, you know, it says in Luke 5 that nobody puts new wine into old wineskins. If it does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be destroyed. And new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And I honestly believe for us and for this church, for this nation, for this city, because we ain't going anywhere with our politics, friends, all right? They've run out of ideas, they're redundant, and now they're just literally, you know, putting lipstick on a pig. And they'll continue to put lipstick on the pig, but it's still a pig, all right? And that's what's just going to go on because we need the church and we need the people of God under the gospel of grace to actually start to show some honor and value and love to people as the way that Jesus has loved us. Because that's going to break the coldest of hearts. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. And it's interesting in this new wineskin that what it means is that you cannot... treat, and the new wineskin is the gospel of grace, yeah? It's the new covenant, that's what it means. So you can't have this new covenant of God's love in you and a new covenant of no condemnation and just operate in it because you'll break, okay? It needs something completely new. And I just felt the Lord say, for today, all I want you to think about is the people in your life and how you can live in honor and grace with them, how you can really live in grace with them and see flow. And I promise you this, you will see flow, goodness, because I have seen it myself, okay? Remember that, I don't want to go back over the story again, Crawfordsburn at Christmas, in a moment of honor, what God did, all right? Keep that in your head. So let's get into it. So here's the issue. This all sounds brilliant, Andrew, but what about those really difficult people? Does anyone have, let me see, hands up if you've got a difficult person in your life. Okay, come on. Hands up if they're in the room with you right now. That got you, didn't it? As Colin puts down Margaret's hand. Isn't it funny that particularly church, like it's not the Stepford Wives, is it? For those of you who remember that, you know, everything's perfect and lovely. We'd like it to be like the Stepford Wives. You young folks have no idea what that is. So we need to challenge ourselves this morning about how we're going to deal with people's mess. Not only because what we'll find is that what we see in our reaction, I'm always interested in people's reactions to things as opposed sometimes to what happens. And what you will see is how you react to people will actually show you what you really believe about the Lord, how he loves you, what you really believe about yourself, and then what you believe about others. It's so much more multifaceted. And if we're not careful, let's not be left with this new covenant in an old wineskin, which will just burst us. That's what I'm trying to say. All right? Now, why do we honor? See those people who do your head in. Why would you want to do it anyway? Why would you want to live in grace? What would be the point? Because actually, here's the thing. I want to say to you this morning, the Lord looks at you and he says, you are worth it. Listen to me, you, right now. When Jesus went to that cross, the worth, the weight, and the value that he put on your life was esteemed in this simple fact. He bled the most horrible death and took the most terrible punishment for you because you are worth it. That's where we start with honor. We start with looking at it and going, actually, people matter to the Lord. How you see someone and see something is very important. How you see people is critical. Right now, the level of the honor actually that you give in relationships is exactly determined by the weight and the value that you see those people in. Do you get that? So the thing I want to say to you is this. It's true in all of your relationships, no matter where they are, actually not just church, work, home, and all the rest of it. In your heart, if you don't see people as actually worth the life of Jesus, then you will never live in honor towards them. Their sin will always be greater. Their mess will always frustrate the life out of you. You know what I love about what the Lord says about you this morning? In Romans 4:17, I absolutely love this verse. He says that in the presence of whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and listen to this, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Can I say this morning in you, and this is where you start to find your freedom, personally, is that God gives weight and value and honor to you, and therefore you respond. Do you know your response to the Lord with hands raised high is a response to how he loves you? He reveals his love and we respond, okay? And the incredible thing about the Lord looking at you this morning, he is not looking at your failure and your mess, because that's not how he determines who you are. He calls out of you gold. He calls out of you future. He calls out of you righteousness. And to you, it might not, as you look at your life today, you might go, well, that's not me. That's not who I am, because I'm the sum total of all these things that I get wrong. But when the Lord looks at you, what does he say? I'm calling those things which, though they don't exist right now, I'm calling you as if they did. See, the Lord always points to your future and to your potential. The Lord always points to the power of the gospel to transform you and to change you and says, that's who you are, not this. All right? And that's an incredible way to be loved, because in Romans 2:4 then says, it's this goodness of God that leads us to change. And I want to tell you this morning that that is so important for you to understand the way the Lord loves you. This week, I've had to rely on that myself and go back to that place of going, Lord, I've screwed up here, but you see me as perfect. You see me as wholesome. You see me as a man who you've created, not the one who I nearly always live like. You get me? Isn't that really good to know that? The Lord's calling you, not those things out of you, where it looks like it's not there, right? And he calls those things which don't exist just as though they did. That's why he calls you perfect. Okay? You go, that doesn't exist. To the Lord it does. But in the same way that he calls it for you, this is grace for all. Oh, that's a real challenge, because they're not perfect. Seriously? I think the Lord's got this one wrong. I think he's got it wrong. See, God sees the extraordinary in the ordinary. I love that. And he says that actually you can do the same. And it'll be shown and outworked in how you treat people. Do you treat them as common objects, or do you choose to see them with the same weight, worth, and value that Jesus sees them with? It's got to be your starting point. It's got to be your starting point. It was a big challenge for me. It's a big challenge when you lead a church. And it's been a particular challenge over the last 5 or 6 years, where when people would do things, unknowingly so, and do you know where the Lord started with me, all right, was not, oh, there. He comforted for sure, all right, and he loved, and that was for real. But he actually underneath it all, and this was, I'm joking about Penny, but this is, she's much further down the road than me. She was able to help me to go, do you know that the Lord loves them exactly the same way that he loves you this morning? And I used to go, no, he doesn't, because he knows that they're rotten spines. Too honest? Look, we can't flatten around the edges here, or flap around the edges. I go, there's no way Jesus loves them the way that he loves me, because I'm way better than them. That's what I mean, well, he should love me a wee bit more, because I'm not as bad as them. Anyone? Because I haven't done that. I mean, if I had done that, then the Lord could be cross. But I didn't do that. They did that to me. So seriously, Jesus, if you're fair, you'll love me just a wee bit more. And actually what started to happen in my heart was the Lord saying, this is grace for all. In the same way, Andrew, that I don't define you by what you have done and by your mess, but I call out of you that which does not exist just as though it does. Perfection and beauty and holiness and righteousness, all those things real. I'm doing it for them too. And so the Lord started to say, Andrew, if you will show first and foremost, or you'll see first and foremost, that this grace is for all. All right? And there's so much invested in us at times. I've talked about offense and how we can get clear of that. But I just want to say this. This week, whenever you look at people, go, he or she is just as loved. I used to speak it out as a truth to start to break the darkness in my heart. So when I would think about, I think about Adam, okay? I'd go, do you know what? We slower. Not this Adam, a different Adam. But I would start to go, I feel the Holy Spirit challenge me to go, actually, Lord, and Penny does it with me today. At times, honestly, there's times where when we're talking and I'll go, and she'll go, stop it. She really calls me to account and says, we're going to speak life because the Lord loves them. They're royalty, Andrew, and we will not speak against God's royalty like that. All right? They're honorable because Jesus says so. Oh, man. But they're mental. Yes, they are. But they're first and foremost, they are not what they do. They are who he says they are. That'll radically start to change how you love. That'll radically start to change how you love. And so in that, you kind of go, right, okay, I see that. I understand it. But the problem with me is I don't feel it. Anyone? I feel angry. I feel frustrated. Feel a wee bit wound up. I feel, Say naughty words under my breath. Have conversations in your head. Oh, I'm so good at this. I swear you will never win an argument with me in my head. In my head, I am the best debate. Get me to the Oxford Society and I will debate anybody. Dan Hannan, bring them all on. I'm going to nail them. Because in my head, I'm awesome. All right? So I just have to go honest with you this morning. I don't feel it. I don't feel like honoring. That's the problem. But can I just say this? Once we decide that people, that this grace and this gospel is for all, even though we don't feel it, what we have to do is we have to say this, that honor is not what I feel, it's what I decide. It's not what you think that they deserve. This is your decision. I'm going to talk about this just for the rest of the 15 minutes that I've got. In Romans 8, verses 1 to 2, it says this. Therefore, there's this brilliant oudainis. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Who's going to receive that word? No condemnation, katakrima, no penalty, and no punishment. That's what it means. Amen? Awesome. Thank you. We receive that in Jesus' name. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Amen. Now, here's what happens. How do you deal with your feelings? Because under the old way of religious thinking is that I will give people worth and value, and I will honor them if I think that they deserve it. I'll be nice. I'll speak nice as long as they have not offended me in any way. Now, there's only one way of living, though, with each other that will promote life, love, and fullness, and that is a culture where love is driving. Now, let me tell you this. Have a look at it in your own life. Even because what happens, your feelings are a good indicator of what's going on, even in your home or in your relationships. Because the opposite of a culture that is love-driven is rule-driven. Okay? You understand that? So what happens is we say, well, if you break my rules, then we break relationship. Now, I'm not saying that we kind of walk out in a huff, although people will do that, and the churches are the worst places for it. But for goodness sake, the world needs, Belfast needs our church. It needs Exchange Church to grasp this gospel and go, grace is for all. Do you get that? Because there ain't nobody else doing that. The politicians have messed it up, folks. All right? So when we start to really capture this and we see life in ourselves and flowing out, it will be a huge, huge, huge attractive thing to the people who are searching for this. Because what happens is this. It's not that we break relationship, but we certainly lessen it. So I treat you based on what you've done to me. You hurt me, I withdraw a wee bit. Anyway, you ever see this? You do this yourself? Because I do it. I withdraw myself. It's about protecting myself. When you offend me and I take the bait, my response at times is to dishonor you because you broke the rules. All right? And the rules are more important to me than loving you. That's what's going on within us. This is how we need to decide to do something different. Now, when we decide that the rules and the rule-keeping is more important than love, and that being the only debt that remains outstanding, and treating each other as honorable, what happens is the result is hurt, pain, frustration, and ultimately death of the relationship or anything else. This is what happens when we're treating people like they're ordinary and not royalty. When we define them that way, that they are what they do, we start to treat them that way, and when you treat them like they're ordinary, it's dishonor. Now, there's only one way of getting on, which is different, and therefore that provides life, and that's to promote honor between us, but we decide it. Okay, your feelings will follow, but you've got to decide first. And what is that? Well, what does grace tell us? Well, I look down here, okay, and in this church, and even in the churches that I've visited and preached in and all the rest of it, we have to have a firm conviction and a shared belief, something that we all agree on, that we are all sons and daughters of the new covenant of God's grace and love, and we are not slaves of the old. We need to have that agreement amongst ourselves. We need to realize in the way that he has loved us, that we are no longer under the covenant of what we do determines how we're loved. And in the same way as we step into that covenant of grace, now we need to agree between each other and keep each other honest to go, in the same way that the Lord does not treat us in terms of what we do, I will not treat you the same way in my heart. Now, I'm going to talk about those times when it's good to protect yourself. Don't worry about that. But you understand where we make our decision to go, I cannot love you just when you're lovable, because that will probably never happen. Even between husbands and wives, 20 times a day, we do each other's heads in. Only 20, says Dorothy. It's 20 before I get into the car this morning. Or my children. Or certainly people in church. But what we do is we put it into our hearts and we go, well, I'll just be a bit huffy, or I'll just withdraw a wee bit, or I'll just, you know. Okay. If you have your primary way of dealing with people is to see them the way that God sees them and to embrace that truth of who we are, walk in it, let it become our reality together, then only then will we see life, love, and freedom truly being lived out amongst us. There's two options. Here's what we have, folks. I can preach grace all day long, but you can live in a system which says protect the rules and religious culture, and we'll live that out. I can preach grace all day long from this pulpit, put it onto the internet and all the rest of it. So we get to decide, do I protect the rules or do I protect the relationship? Which one is it going to be? Which one matters more? You see it with your kids, don't you, at times? Where I'm not saying that rules are not important and boundaries with our children, but actually the way to maintain relationship is that heart connection with one another, because I do not see my kids as a sum total of everything they get wrong. I see them as my son and my daughters. Do you get that? And at times, what I do is, in my love for them, I maintain relationship rather than penalizing them over every bit of rule breaking that they've done. Because see, with our kids, God, that would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Even worse than our wives and husbands. But that's my point. You have to decide that for yourself. I can't decide it for you, but I'm telling you, as a church, that I don't want the gospel of grace simply to be about, bless me, Jesus, this is for me. It's grace for all. It's grace amongst us. And as we understand how to live and work with grace amongst us, then surely it'll flow into this city and into this nation. And that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. Come, we don't define you by what you do. We see you with the eyes of Jesus. We see you being worth it. We see that whatever your lifestyle or whatever your background or wherever you have come from, you are loved. And you might feel like a mess, but the Lord's going to call out beauty and royalty in you. And he's going to set that up. And as he sets it up in you and shows you who you are, then you will live to that. Okay? You'll live to your righteousness. And you'll see change and you'll see life and you'll see flow. But we will be the place that in your mess and in your frustration and in your working it out, that we will always decide amongst ourselves that we will not simply let people break relationship because the rules were more important. We're called to love first. We're called to love first. Think about what happens. See, in those wee moments when somebody offends you, and you kind of go, because no one churches, we're dead good at it, aren't we? We don't go, sawed you, right? I was in a pub ministering yesterday. I was on a missions trip to Hollywood. And I was on a missions trip preaching the gospel in the rugby. And really, really, really interesting, because you can see it in real life. Okay, I was there with my brother and my dad, and we're handing out tracts and singing gospel songs. I'm sensing you're not believing me. Oh, shine, Jesus, shine. That was awesome. And but you can see that. I saw it because the place was packed and there were screens all around the place. And then people were getting dead humpy because people would stand in front of the screens. Do you get that? Like really huffy. In fact, a couple of guys beside me nearly ended up in fisticuffs. Seriously. Because, I don't know, it was pathetic. And I got stuck beside this wee pensioner, actually. He was about 80. Deaf as a post. Hello! He's a choir player. Which one? All of them. Really, it was one of those. It was dead funny. It was dead. But me and him, Jack, he's called, me and Jack hit it off, rightly. And we had a great time. But it was interesting just watching how, you know, a couple of times people would stand up and this guy would go, oi, get out of the way. Right? And then they'd be, oh, squaring up. I'm going, Jack, it's all kicking off here. See that? With his wee glass of Magner cider. And I said, Jack, just stand back a bit. Because there was this, what happened was this one guy, because he was asked just to get his big flipping fat head out of the middle of the screen so everyone else could see, to be fair, he then honestly became really humpy and aggressive for the rest of the time. In fact, we ended up leaving and going somewhere else because it was just getting a wee bit sort of out of hand. And but you saw him in an instant, all right, that this guy was offended, and then it all came out, right? And I thought, that's exactly what I'm talking on tomorrow, right? No relationship, no let's work this out. It's like, you broke my rules, now I'm huffy, all right? He didn't walk out, he didn't separate himself, but in that moment, they shared the same space, these people, but there was no real connection going on between them, no connection at all. Do you get that? It's a little microcosm of what goes on in your relationships and mine. We don't walk out all the time, but what we do is we separate. But we've got to decide not to do that. We've got to decide to look that person in the eye and go, Jesus gave his life for them. That's how much he loves them. And I may not feel it, but it is my decision. And what I often find is that after I decide, my feelings will often follow. If I was left to be at the whim of my feelings on any particular day, it could be a little bit messy. Not that I'm a nut job, but I'm telling you, it could just be messy because my feelings will go up and down like a fiddler's elbow. But what I often decide is when I choose honor and when I choose love, my feelings will catch up. But I decide very quickly. Let me go very, very quickly. Sounds like a pipe dream, doesn't it? It sounds lovely, but it's totally naive, Andrew, because I'm dealing with people who are completely, completely crazy, and you've no idea of what they've done to me and everything else. But let's look at this. Whenever you feel the need to deal with somebody's sin, especially if they have transgressed you, and it has an effect on you, all right? When you're offended, or whenever you're feeling that bit of separation, do you know what often it is? You feel the need for justice. That's what drives you. That's what drives me at times. It rises up in us. Rules have been broken, and when rules are broken, they need to be dealt with, and there needs to be some justice. Isn't that right? Okay. So honor completely messes with your idea of justice. This is what I love about it. It messes with the notion that other people's sin and a mess are a block and a hindrance in your life, because they're not. And if you talk about a culture of honor, if you want to talk about it that way, it's about free and powerful people who are actually a channel of God's love and God's blessing. It's not an environment where other people's mess has power over us, and other people's mess causes us to step into dishonor and therefore cut ourselves off from the flow of God. Do you get that? That's not the culture we're looking for. Because why? It says here, we have been freed from the law of sin and death. That's not just you to the Lord, that's you to the people around you. Does that make sense? You are free from that way of living. It may be a pattern in your life, but the power of it was broken when Christ went to the cross. Because the law of sin and death, and the law is completely gone. When we are, what we really believe about other people's weaknesses and failure and sin, actually what we really believe is shown whenever we're confronted with it. Often what we think is people's mistakes and people's mess and their sin is greater and stronger than God's love, God's work, and what he has done in you. When someone messes up, what happens is we tend to operate in fear and we start to partner with fear. Because when we see sin, we try to control it. When we're afraid of something, we try to control it. And how do we control it? By withdrawing and withholding love. Does that make sense to you? But let's not do that. Can we agree that we're not going to do that? Can we agree that in a church which is founded on Jesus and his finished work, that when we walk and we look at each other, our only lens, our spiritual specsavers, if you like, is there is a son of the King of Kings. He has been freed, or she has been freed, from the law of sin and death, as I have been. And in the same way that the Lord does not treat me according to what I have done, I am going to love them first and foremost. They are free from the law of sin and death. And so I will not allow their sin to create fear in me and lead me to a place of dishonor. It's such a bad deal, isn't it? Does that make sense? Why would you let someone else's sin, which the love of God in you is so much stronger for anyway? You've got Jesus in you. You've got the Spirit of God in you. He that is in you is what? Greater than everything else. So why would you let something that has been dealt with in their life, because the Lord says, I've dealt with their mess, why would you allow that to allow you to step into dishonor and to cut off the flow of God in your life? It's madness. But where does it start? I choose to honor you as royalty. I choose to see you and go, even though you are a numpty, my first decision in my heart is I will speak nothing but love and call out of you that which he has created you to be. Now let's look at what's going on. But my heart condition, because remember, dishonor, it's not about just about how you treat. It comes from your heart, and therefore you treat. So it's not about all just kind of going, oh, it's just lovely, we love each other, but really I hate you in my heart. That's not what I'm talking about, but it's about genuinely receiving the love of God so that we don't allow ourselves to step into dishonor. I need to go very, very quickly. You have to decide, when somebody sins, what are you going to partner with? Are you going to partner with fear? Or are you going to partner with honor and love? Fear will bring mistrust and division and hurt and pain, but whenever you're partnering with them with fear or you're trying to control people, their sin needs to be controlled because it might destroy you or hurt you or whatever. And so we withdraw based on what they do, and honor is not based on that. We're not loving them based on what God says. And actually, sometimes we think that God does the same with us. In the presence of sin, what did Jesus do? There's probably a better way to look at it. Was Jesus intimidated or controlled by people's sin? Was he? Why? Because Jesus knew who he was. He knew that the fullness of heaven was in him. And he knew that the power that was in him was infinitely much more powerful than any sin at all. That same power is in you today, right now as you sit here. You may not feel it, but you choose to partner with it if you want to see freedom in life. I get really honest with the Lord and go, this person's doing my head in, but Lord, you love them. And I make a decision to speak out what the Lord says about them. And I just see the layers of penalty and judgment in my own heart that the Lord still needs to deal with whenever I feel like they need to be punished. And that's my last point. I want to say it very quickly. You have to decide this. You know, religious people in the presence of sin, they freak out. You know, the Pharisees, they just wanted to kill people. Every time they saw sin, they wanted to kill people, the woman in adultery or anything at all. Oh, sin, kill it. What did Jesus do? Offered no condemnation. And what happened when there's the gift of no condemnation? Life flowed. That's the gospel of grace right there. So whenever you feel like somebody needs to be punished, actually what you need to do is take it to the Lord and get this truth and this revelation. And this is my last point today. And then we're getting straight into something new next week. People are unpunishable. Oh, let that sink in. People are unpunishable. When we withhold our love and we withhold our honor, what's actually going on? It's punishment. Do you get that? Whenever I'm huffy with Penny, actually, if I'm really honest, whenever I withdraw from her because I'm hurt, what I'm trying to do is punish her. Is that the truth? Let it sink in. Now, you might justify and go, oh, no, I'm protecting myself and it's all very important. And da-da. No, what you're trying to do is you're trying to punish them. Because they hurt you, they broke the rules. And when you break the rules, there's got to be punishment. That's what condemnation means. Remember, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Ude niste katakrima in Greek. A negating word which means absolutely, rules out by definition. There is no punishment ever for those who are in Christ. Now, there might be very serious consequences for your sin, but that's not the same as being punished. Oh, this really, you know. Let me just allow you to step into my world and show you how this worked out for me. Let me just tell you this. Through the cross, Jesus made every one of us unpunishable. It'll never lose its power for me. Did you sing that this morning? What that meant is you're unpunishable right now. Because he can't punish you because he punished Jesus. His justice has been served right now as you sit here. And all the religious people go, oh, hold on. Just preach grace, but mix it up with a wee bit of don't be too mental about grace, Andrew. No, what it means is that you're unpunishable. Jesus can't punish, he can't be punished because all of your sin was laid on him. So what are you being punished for? Oh, flip me. No, it doesn't mean that you don't have consequences, and we'll talk about that very quickly. This is what we believe before people become Christians. We preach it to people all the time. He will not condemn you. Jesus says that people are no longer punishable. Now, that does not mean that there won't be consequences if you decide to sin, okay? If you sin, it will have consequences. Some of those may be severe. You want to have adultery? The consequences could be severe. But the outrageous, scandalous nature of God's love is that even if you do that, he will not punish you. Boy, that's grace. You'll walk through the stuff, but he will not punish. Anyone struggling with that? You need to get a revelation of grace, because that's the truth. Now, that's incredible for me. That frees me. That's when I think about that, I think that is the goodness of God, isn't it? And as that truth comes into my heart, the goodness of God, what does it do? According to Romans 2:4, it leads me to change. So that person in your life that is doing your BAP in, the one that you're struggling with and that you've been hurt by, let me tell you this. If there's something in your heart that feels the need for punishment, and you maybe never even thought about it at that level, well, I withdrew, or I did this, or I did that, because actually, what I'm going to say is this, that as you pour love and honor and grace onto that person, and they probably don't deserve it, but the truth of it is, the Lord says, I'm never going to punish them if they're in Christ, so don't you do it either. And what will happen? You're giving worth, weight, and value to them, and life's going to flow. Man, that is the gospel. This is the gospel of grace really worked out. Church leaders need a lot of this. I need a lot of this from you, because I probably drive you nuts. But I'm not perfect. I am a man like any other, with my own frailties and weaknesses. And when you stand on this pulpit week after week, going through stuff during the week and everything, can I just be honest with you and go, we need you to give us worth, weight, and value, because it helps life flow in me. In the same way that you expect me to love you, I need you to love me that way. Is that okay? Can we agree amongst ourselves that we're royalty? Because everything that annoys the life out of you about me will not be solved. What are you like? John, you don't laugh too loud. Seriously, he's like chortling away to himself, going, actually, I've got a list here. Is this a good time to maybe talk it through? He's chuckling away down there, seriously. That's funny, isn't it? But here's what I've decided, and so I can help you with this. Everything that you don't like about me, or sometimes how I frustrate you or hurt you, it'll be changed not by you withdrawing from me, or huffing, or not giving, or not serving, or whatever. That's not going to work, all right? Love the life out of me. Love the life out of me. Show grace. See, in your homes, with your kids, with your colleagues, decide that you're going to see them as royalty and love the life out of them. That's the gospel of grace. And when you're in the presence of their sin, think, what did Jesus do? He loved. He gave no condemnation as his first gift. And what happened? Life always flowed. Pick any interaction with Jesus you want, and what comes first is no condemnation. Why? Because Jesus saw them not as they were, but as he had called them to be. So people are not punishable. Is this okay? Is it okay? Because I kind of feel like I literally next week you're going to be blessed, because we are going straight into Jesus and, you know, law and Jesus and mountains and tabernacles and arcs and all sorts of mental stuff. It's going to be brilliant. But I just felt the Lord say, just one more time this week, go, why don't we agree this, that this is who we are as a church? This is our gospel lived out. Let me just say a couple of things to finish. Okay. In the same way, 1 John 2, I'm going to give you a couple of verses, then we're finished. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, what do we have? An advocate with the Father. Jesus, who is that? It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. The covering means the mercy seat for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of who? That means all the mental people who do your head in. Isn't it brilliant? So what do? We trust those things in other people that do our heads. And what do we trust them with? With our ability to punish and withdraw and try to control and partner with fear? No, we trust them with the Lord who's already covered it. Isn't that good? Oh, what a burden. See, when people do your head in, and it just creates burdens in your life, doesn't it? Trying to navigate those complex relationships. And where am I at with you? And what about you? Why don't we all just decide that I'm going to love you first? Do you do my head in? Absolutely. But I'm going to pray and see you as royalty. Because it's such a burden lifter, isn't it? Instead of walking into the room trying to figure out where you're at with everyone, go, my state is, I love you. Do you know what? You are a son. You are a daughter. You are a king. And because he says, you're worth it, so do I. Now, what are you going to do when you mess up? I'm going to love you. I may feel desperately frustrated, but out of my mouth will not come curse. Because how can I curse that which God has blessed? Isn't that right? That's grace. That's the community of grace that I want to live in. Because the bottom line to me is it's not a powerful force to God. It doesn't need to be controlled. Sin in my life and in yours is defeated. That's it. So don't partner with it. Every time you mess up, all right, Jesus is help there for you to have your victory enforced. Confess your righteousness whenever you messed up. Whenever somebody else has messed up, confess their righteousness over them in your head and in your heart, and you will be free. It's amazing. They might not change straight away, but you will be free. You'll find love and peace and life flowing in you. And soon enough, trust them to the Lord, and he'll do what he needs to do. Okay? Honor tells us this, that the point with people around you is not to try to control and to defeat their sin, to control them or otherwise, but simply to love them like he loved them first. Amen? You can't punish them because God doesn't punish them. Even in your mess, he doesn't punish you, he honors you. Isn't Jesus amazing? In your mess today, he will not punish you. He will honor you. He will love you. He will call gold out in you and say, I loved you first and I will forever love you, and you are not your mess. Oh man, that is the gospel. Isn't it good? Flipping heck, church. I'm preaching to the left-hand side here again. On that cross, every need for God to punish sin in mankind was done. Let me leave you with this one verse. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment that we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Can I just say this? My commitment to you, all right, honestly, is that every time I see you and I say, Lord, thank you that you have placed me in a church with royalty. Honestly. Because as a leader, I get really frustrated. At times, okay? When I say times, I'm generally any days between Monday and Sunday. After that, outside of that, I'm pretty good. Or is it? Yeah, no, it would be Monday through to Sunday generally wouldn't be great days. And so, but I think what the Lord is saying to me and saying to us, and with this we are now done, that in this church, This gospel of grace means that we give worth, we give weight, and we give value to him and who he is and what he's done. But also then, the gospel of grace for everybody. Because that's our message. That's what this gospel's about. And I promise you, it's counterintuitive. Not bless me, help me to flow in love, and you will find more blessings stacked up in your life than you could ever imagine. So when you're in the presence of the Lord, there's abundant supply for everything you need. Don't take yourself out of his presence and out of that place of communion with God because you hold stuff in your heart over something that was defeated anyway. Right? So I choose. That's what just culture of honor means. It's culture of honor in 40 minutes. There you go. That's what it means.